the rest of the story. I want you to meet Lord Eglinton. He was president of the Prestwick Golf Club on the west coast of Scotland in the stuffiest era of that arguably stuffiest sport. And yet while Prestwick's distinguished chief executive appreciated the prestige of the royal and ancient game, he also thought it too exclusive. The working class should be welcomed to the links, he controversially proclaimed. And to underscore his assertion, he proposed a tournament for caddies? For caddies. Well, lest the sheer boldness of Lord Eglinton's idea be lost herein, it must be mentioned that golf club caddies of that day, a great many of them anyway, represented the dregs of society, drunkards, even criminals. Spared the scorn ordinarily rained down on such by dint of the particular services they rendered, which were the regular cleaning of shoes and clubs, the skillful repair of golfing equipment, most often the replacement of a hickory shaft snapped in anger, and of course presenting precisely the appropriate weapon for the wielder thereof to execute the ensuing golf shot. Caddies were not only paid wages by the wealthy and sometimes noble strikers of the ball whom they served, but were offered useful gratuities as well. A pheasant, perhaps, or a cast-off tweed jacket. But an official tournament for caddies? Unthinkable. At least until Prestwick's Lord Eglinton on September 6, 1860, instructed his club secretary to start writing letters. And soon administrators of golf clubs far and wide had been informed of the upcoming Prestwick event and were invited to dispatch their best caddies, a limit of two per club, depending on each club to vouch for the characters of the same. In other words, no drunkards, no thieves allowed. Well, that final caveat was for most clubs the unscalable obstacle. Indeed, the following October 17, a mere eight contestants arrived to compete in Prestwick's 36-hole one-day tournament. That meant three rounds, incidentally, since Prestwick's course had only 12 holes. The weather was what one might have expected in October in Scotland, gray, rainy, blustery from the first hole till the last. Nonetheless, a fair number of intrepid townsfolk, doubtless curious, showed up to witness the unique contest, and in the end, one Willie Park of Musselburgh won the trophy, which Lord Eglinton had commissioned, an elaborate belt made of red Moroccan leather with a pretentious silver buckle and medallion, ornaments all around. The winning score, 174. That would be like shooting a pair of 87s today. And yet the most illustrious of athletic traditions was there and then born. For such was the perceived success of Lord Eglinton's event that the following year it was declared, quote, open to the whole world. In other words, everybody was welcome, from caddy to king. Oh, by the way, caddies in those days were considered golf professionals. But as of 1861 and thenceforth, the low-born professional and high-born amateur would compete toe-to-toe, side by side, in a tournament which commands the rapt attention and the utmost respect of golfers everywhere, even unto this day. You know Lord Eglinton's People's Tournament. You know it now as the British Open. Only now you know the rest of the story.